Well, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer today. Yours is the kingdom, and I'll be done with this series in a few weeks. I'm sure you heard about the guy who was late for a meeting, and he drove around and around the block, and it was hard to find a space to park, and finally he parked illegally. He wrote a note and put it on the windshield. It said, "Dear Mr. Policeman, I've circled this block many times. My boss will fire me if I'm late for this meeting. Please don't give me a ticket." And he put a little spiritual note at the end, "Forgive us of our sins." You know, from the Lord's Prayer. Well, he came back, and sure enough, there was a ticket there up on the windshield. And on the back of the ticket, there was a little note from the cop. It said, "Sir, I've circled this block 10 years. My boss would fire me if I didn't give you a ticket." And he put a little spiritual note at the end, "Lead us not into temptation." Now, we've seen the Lord's Prayer. You know, yours is the kingdom, and thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And now we come to this part that's dealing with protection. So far, we've seen the focus on God and then the turn to our needs and God's provision, our pardon of sin. But now, as the prayer comes to a close, it's with protection. Because we know that we struggle with sin, we need God's forgiveness, but we know when we get up from our prayer time, we're going back into the world, and we know we're vulnerable to get back in the same messes or other sin. And so we need God's protection. Thomas Aquinas, the great saint, he said this, "The Lord's Prayer contains all that is to be desired and all that we ought to avoid. And the main thing we ought to avoid," he said, "is sin. Having prayed for food, forgiveness, we must also pray for our frailty," because we know we're weak. And so we pray, "Lead us not into temptation." So we're going to look at that first part of this phrase, "Lead us into temptation," today. And then next week, "Deliver us from the evil one." So we need God's protection. What will help us pray this prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," more effectively? I want to share some principles of prayer from the Scripture that will help us with this. Because as we've said, this is meant to be a pattern for us, the Lord's Prayer. Not just something we mouth and go through the motions with. It's meant to affect our lives and be a pattern for our praying and our living. So number one thing is study the life of Christ. And that's the idea of the pattern of prayer we see in Jesus. The power of prayer. As we look at Jesus' life in the Scripture, the first principle that helps us better pray this is study. Jesus gives us both the pattern of praying to overcome temptation and the power, of course, to overcome it. When you study Christ's life, you see the model of Him praying to overcome temptation. He prayed throughout His earthly life as a man, and we see this in the Garden of Gethsemane, especially as He called His disciples to pray and to not be led into temptation, to watch and pray. What we must remember as Christians is that as God was with Christ walking this earth as a man, He similarly is with us through the Spirit. And we should not overlook the importance of staying in prayer, staying connected and alert, and praying throughout the day. Remember, this is something we're meant to pray every day. This is a pattern of prayer. Lead us not into temptation. This is why Jesus told the disciples to keep watch and be alert, that they wouldn't fall into temptation. And this is the same principle He's showing them here and us in the Lord's Prayer. Let this be your pattern. Pray, lead us not into temptation. Now, let me ask you, do you really believe in the power of prayer to overcome your temptations? Do you pray? They asked in a survey what helped people overcome temptation, and 84% years ago said prayer, talking to God about the temptation. Do you pray? Ryken said Jesus not only told them to pray, but He revealed prayer is the best way to combat temptation. He not only told them to pray, but He prayed Himself. When He was in that last time in Gethsemane, struggling with what He had to go through, He was praying. And the same God, Ryken said, who gave Jesus the strength to withstand it, is there with us. But we're called to ask Him, are we praying? Jesus was tempted, you see. Hebrews tells us He was tempted. He never sinned, but He was tempted in every way as we are at every point. What makes us think that if Jesus was tempted that we won't face temptation? But you know what the devil likes to do, the enemy, because he comes at us? He likes to try and get us to think that when we're struggling with temptation, we've gone ahead and we've sinned. And then we give up praying. And then we give up getting in God's Word. And he gets us to think, wow, you're just, you know, you've already, these thoughts in our head, I've already sinned. When actually you've been tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. There's a difference between temptation and sin. And we need to understand that when the devil wants us to give up and think, oh, I feel just as dirty and impure because I've been tempted. You haven't sinned yet necessarily. Now you may have, but you've got to learn to discern the difference. And know that's a lie from the enemy. And not give up praying and seeking God when you're facing temptation. Because Jesus was tempted in every way as we, but he never sinned. So we look to him as we pray this prayer, lead us not into temptation. And the enemy wants to come at us and get us to think, oh, well, you know, you're in such difficulty now. You know, people don't understand what you're going through. Nobody, but the Bible says there's no temptation that's not common to everyone. 1 Corinthians 10. He wants to get you to think, I'll just go ahead and give in a little bit. You're already frustrated about this. This is already done. Just don't worry about it. And it's not sin yet. It's temptation. You shouldn't be let go of this. You know, I listen to the Christian music sometimes on my phone through Spotify, and it always gives this commercial constantly that says, you need Spotify Unlimited, in other words. I need to pay some more money so I don't have to hear the commercials. Because they say, you want more music. More is always better, the ad says over and over. You need more. You need more music. Don't be let anything get in the way. You know, and this is the way it is in the world. The devil's just constantly coming at us with what we need. And you just need to go ahead and live for yourself. And we can't give up seeking in prayer. And we see that in Jesus. Hebrews 4 said, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God's grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help us in our times of need. Jesus experienced every temptation we'll ever do and experience, and even more, but he never gave in to it. And that means he's not only the one that gives us perfect strength to overcome when we pray, he's the one who has ultimate sympathy of everything we ever could face because he's endured all those temptations and he never gave in. Are we coming to him and through Jesus to the Father? Every time we're tempted, we need to understand, Jesus understands because he's been tempted in every way. Now, he never sinned, but he has been tempted in every way. Jesus was tempted to face anger and to sin in anger and emotions. He was tempted with greed. Every temptation you could think of, in some way, Jesus was tempted. He understands what we're going through. He never gave in to sin, but he was tempted. As I've said before, if you've got two pianos in the same room in tune and you hit one note on one, it will resonate on the other. Sympathetic resonance, they call it. I believe that's true. Now, the fact of the matter is, every time a note of something in this world that we face of temptation is hit in our life, it plays with Jesus. It resonates with him because he's been through it. But he never sinned. So we go to him. Jesus is our priest. The only way we come to God in prayer. And he has a perfect combination of empathy and aptitude and strength to help us. I mean, what bridge has undergone the most stress? One that has some trucks go over it and immediately crumbles? Or one that has stood strong over so many years and never given in? Well, that bridge has faced the most stress, hadn't it? That one understands the pressure. And that's a picture of Jesus. C.S. Lewis said, a silly idea is that good people don't know what temptation means. Now, it's when you actually stand against it that you realize what it really is. And Jesus never gave in, but he stood in there completely. And he's able to help us. He alone can help us. We never find, Suit Lewis says, the strength of an evil impulse inside us unless we try to fight it. And Christ, because he's the only man who never yielded to temptation is the only one who fully knows what temptation means. That's Lewis. God, you see, in Christ is sympathetic to what you're going through. He knows what it's like to deal with things. You're dealing with irritating people and you want to give in to sin. You're dealing with problems at work. You're dealing with difficult family members, whatever it is. He knows what we're facing. So we turn to Him in prayer when we pray, lead us not into temptation. The point is, study the life of Christ and you see the pattern of the man in prayer and the power he has to help us overcome. He faced it head on and he never gave in. If you want to overcome temptation, and myself as well, more and more, it's praying through Christ to the Father in the power of the Spirit that alone gives us the victory. See, on the one hand, Jesus, who's overcome all we face, has compassion for our needs as he prays for us at the Father's right hand. Did you realize that? He's praying for you now, interceding for you as a Christian. Someone said Jesus knows all about our temptations and he explains them to the Father as we pray. Also, when we turn to Christ in temptation through prayer, Jesus is not critical or demeaning. He's understanding and gracious to us when we pray. He calls us to come boldly to the throne of grace and we find help in our time of need. Thirdly, when we pray through Jesus, we know that whatever temptation you're facing, Jesus has faced it. He's forgiven it for us, if we're Christians, through His death on the cross. And He has forged the way to victory through faith and through prayer. Do we believe that? Romans 8 said, Jesus is at the right hand of God and making intercession for us right now. We can know that when we're praying, lead us not into temptation, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying that with you, for you. You believe that? He's praying that with you and for you. He intercedes for you. He's praying, lead them not into temptation, Father. I know what it's like to go through that. I overcame it, but I understand it. That's amazing, isn't it? They used to have these t-shirts in America that said, been there, done that. You know, you've been to some place, get it on a sweatshirt. Jesus is the only one that can say, I've been there and I've resisted all of that. I've overcome. He understands our temptations. He knows what we mean when we pray this. He faced it all. He feels it when we feel it. But He forges the way through faith and through prayer. So let's come to Him. So that's the first key, praying this, is study the life of Christ. He gives us the pattern and the power. Number two is key, is strategize with a plan as you pray. Do you have a strategy? You got to have a pattern and power, but what about a plan? Someone said, our enemy's plans have fallen into our hands. We know that his strategies to entice us with lies, lust, greed, etc., and it's in God's Word and through God's Spirit that we're able to resist the enemy's advances. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul said, in order that Satan might not outwit us, we are not unaware of his schemes. I like the story of this little boy. His mom had baked all these cookies and told them strictly not to mess with the cookie jar. But there he was. She heard something. She said, son, what are you up to? And he replied back, my hand is in the cookie jar resisting temptation. Sometimes we're like that in life, aren't we? Like, where's our strategy? We want to pray, lead us not into temptation, but we're already putting ourselves in the middle of it. We all do that, don't we? So we need to study the life of Christ and see the pattern and power of prayer, but we also need to strategize as we pray this before and while we pray. We need a specific plan with our praying to overcome through prayer. Matthew 26, 41, Jesus told the disciples, watch and pray that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Haven't you found that to be true? We'll think in our own ingenuity and strength we'll be able to overcome temptation, but haven't you discovered we fall? So Jesus says, we pray and we watch. The point is, Jesus says there's a combination of praying and planning, of watching and praying, that is essential to not give in to temptation. The fact is, the more we're alert as we pray, strategizing about our particular weak points through God's Word and asking God to show us, as we pray this, we'll pray it more effectively. Lead us not into temptation. Why? Because then we're praying with an awareness. Then we're praying based on God's Word that applies to our particular struggles. Then we're praying with accuracy based on our particular needs. Planning and praying, strategizing as well as looking at Christ's life. What is Jesus saying we need to watch for? He says, watch and pray to the disciples. Well, I think in application today, it means we're looking out for those things we are vulnerable to. We're not unaware of the devil's schemes. We want to know and have a plan, and we need to identify those things and work with them. And certain temptations may tempt me, but not you. We like to sometimes look at everybody else's temptations, don't we? But you know, when we get prideful and start to look, wow, look at all they're struggling with, the devil has us right where he wants us. Are we looking at our temptations? Do we know the specific areas we're weak in? Some things you may struggle with and other things, you know, you may blow off. They don't seem to bother you. The enemy is creative, offering a full line of sins from greed, lust, despair, anger. The list goes on and on. But do you know your weak points as you pray? How do you pray this effectively if we don't strategize? See, he knows how to hit Christians too with acceptable quote-unquote sins. Gossip, spiritual pride, and self-righteousness, and all these things. What I'm saying is we've got a pattern of vulnerability and the devil knows it, but do we know it? Satan knows those struggles and he's going to try to hit us. He's looking for that and trying to find ways through all of the demons and spiritual forces that work with him to try to hit us on those areas. It's like the little girl who was tempted to steal from the pantry. She said, sometimes the devil tempts me and sometimes he tempts me good. Yeah, he hits each of us. Children can be tempted more to selfishness. Disrespecting parents, a lot of times that's teenagers, you know. Sarcasm. Young people get tempted sexually many times. Of course, that can happen. All these things can happen at any point. When you get older, you might struggle more with complaining and fear, worry. What do you know your points? If you grew up in a house that was prone to blow up in anger, you probably learned that pattern. Do you realize these points, these patterns, the enemy knows? As we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're reminded of the second part we'll look at next week, which is deliver us from the evil one. We know there's an evil one we can't take for granted who is looking at various ways and means to hit us in our weak points and put the pressure where it's hardest for us. We need to be ready. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy is like a roaring lion waiting and prowling around to devour. He's looking for the weak prey. He's like a predator. What this means is we must pray, we must plan, and watch and pray as well. But we must pray with this awareness. We need a strategy. Ryken said this as well in his book. He said, the enemy is relentless, and no sooner we've resisted one temptation than his demons come after us with another one and a different one. And when we show the slightest sign of weakness, he presses us till we sin. And you know, the enemy is crafty too. That's what I want to hone in on. Gradually, he'll lead us from what might seem smaller and subtle to worse temptations in that same area. Kind of like a bait with fish. And he leads us along and draws us deeper and deeper into sin. And he's so subtle that sometimes we don't even realize we've been tempted and we've fallen into sin. Those of us who fish, you know how it works. You know, a lure, for one thing, is one of those things that looks like the real bait, right? But it's fake. It's close enough to it to attract the fish. And there's a hook, of course, in it. And we know that those are lures fishermen use, but the devil has spiritual lures to try to draw us, and we need to understand them. Our lures may look different for each of us, but they all have this in common. They're fake. The devil always uses decoys and deception. I remember when we first moved here and I started fishing some, and my family remember this too. I came home with 4 or 5 salmon at a time, you know, maybe once only, but I did, you know, and that's great, man, you're so wonderful. We don't even have to go to the grocery store now. You just bring fish home. Well, that didn't last. And I blame it on the line and, you know, And finally, this guy I went out with a lot. He was a good fisherman years ago. I went with him, and he said, you know, the fish are just smarter than you. Okay, well, thanks. But because he would go, I'd go with him out on the beach, and he would drive up and down the beach, this guy looking for the right place to stop. And I'd just say, come on, can we just stop and fish? I don't have all day here. But the reality was, he was a smart fisherman. He learned the patterns and the rhythms and where the right holes were and the right time to put the bait in. And you know, our enemy is like that. He looks for the rhythms in our life, the patterns, the weaknesses. But do we know them? Are we aware? See, we want God to help us become wiser fish, right? As we pray. We pray at what we pray. Of course, that's the most important thing, but we also have a plan. And we learn more and more. An experienced fish recognizes the lures, recognizes the deception. As we're praying and getting in God's Word, we start to recognize, oh, I see that lure. I know that's false. I know that's deception. I know that's at my weak point and the enemy's trying to hit me. We start to see those things the more we pray and get in God's Word. And we start to hear those things like, well, you know, you deserve a break today. Those things, like I said earlier, those thoughts that come in your mind, well, she really treated you wrong. You should stand up for yourself. Self-centered, sinful thing. That's not the Holy Spirit telling you. That's the devil. That's lies, deception. That's your flesh. And you start to recognize it. And what the enemy likes to do is use our own desires tainted by sin as that lure and put an outward temptation that draws us to act on that false desire and take the bait and act. And so there's a tension and focus, and we meditate on it. We're thinking about it, and then we act. And that's what James 1 that we read earlier says. That's the way temptation works. The trigger is on the outside, yes, what you see, what you think, what's out there you can do, but the natural temptation is inside. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't fall for the outward temptation. You see, you wouldn't take the bait. The real bait, the lure, is in our hearts, our false desires. Someone said temptation is an opportunity to accomplish a good thing, a godly thing, but in the wrong way. And the wrong desire and timing. And so love becomes lust, and food becomes happiness, and money becomes significance. And these legitimate needs get twisted, and Satan wants us to act in those wrong ways. And that's sin. Fire is good, but it'll burn your house down if you got too much in the wrong way in the right time. Water's good, 90% of our body. Why can't I lose weight easier then? I don't know. But anyway, it's water. But you drown if you got too much. So our own desires, tainted by sin, that's what the enemy seeks to get us to satisfy in the wrong way, the wrong timing, the wrong people, and live away from God and be drawn from Him, and that's what sin's all about. Do we realize our specific struggles? The enemy is trying to hit. James says, each one is tempted, verses 14 to 16 of chapter 1. We read it earlier. Each one's tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed, and after desires conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin full grown, it gives birth to death. It's like a magnet. There's the outward pull, and there's that inward desire, and the two work together, and you have both. So what'll help us? What's some key things to strategize? Number one, understand your and my weak points. Ephesians 4 says, don't give the devil a foothold. And in context there, it's talking about this mental state with emotional things like anger, that we let it go, and in our hearts, it turns into bitterness. It turns into resentment because we let him get a foothold. It means sin begins in our hearts. You have to understand what's going on inside of you and your trigger points. So think about when are you most tempted? Have you thought about that? Not just the specific temptation, but when it happens. Why it happens. Maybe it's more in the morning, or maybe for you it's more in the evening, or more, you know, when people aren't around, or more when you feel kind of high and on a high, or maybe when you're down. When? There's these habits and patterns, and the enemy knows it, and he tries to hit us with these temptations in those times. What about where I'm most tempted? Have you asked that question? Maybe some are more tempted at work. Maybe some of you get more tempted around your family because you let your guard down around them, you know? And you tend to like get into that attack mode, or you're kind of rude and ugly when you're around those people you're the closest with. Have you thought about when or where? Maybe it's people at work. Maybe it's your neighbor that's irritating. You got to think about those things. Maybe it's friends that seem to pull you down. Someone said you can't soar with the eagles if you're always flying with the turkeys. So who are we around? When are we most tempted? Why am I most tempted? You know, sin, the Bible says, is pleasurable for a season, but only for a season. But have you thought about why you fall into that temptation? It makes you more comfortable. It gives you pleasure. What's the payoff? Makes you feel more confident, falsely. You got to know these emotional triggers: boredom, loneliness, pride, fatigue. Think about Joseph with this in Genesis 39. Potiphar's wife wanted to be with him, and he not only refused not to do it, but he refused to even be alone in a room with her. Now, I say this because we got to know our weak points and when we're triggered, when and where and who. Because if we're praying, lead us not into temptation, that means we've got a plan. Praying and planning go together. How are we going to pray, lead us not into temptation, when we're just going to go put ourselves in the weak points, you know, in weak, vulnerable situations? We don't want to do those two things together. We want to be praying, God, help me to have a plan. Help me to see my weak points and pray, lead us not into temptation. If we're going to pray it genuinely, it means if we struggle with gossip, we might have to unplug the phone. We might have to stop talking to that person. Struggle with lust, you might have to cut off the TV. Whatever it is. Number two, unite with other Christians. We pray, lead us not into temptation. We are strong together, aren't we? And we pray this for ourselves and for others. And it means we have to be willing to hold each other accountable because we struggle with common temptations. And we're not going to grow out of our sin and ability to have victory if we do it alone. Ecclesiastes says two are better than one because together, if one falls, one can help the other up. But not if you're alone. So we find our strength together as we pray this. We unite with other Christians. We understand our weak points. We unite. Number three, utilize the Scripture. If you want to have a plan as you pray, this is, of course, what Jesus Christ did when he was tempted. We read earlier. And it's why it's so important to memorize Bible verses. Because when the temptation comes, then you can pray with power based on God's Word. And that's what Jesus, he's doing, using the Scripture in Luke 4 there. And as true with Jesus, his temptations, they're often subtle. They're subtle for us. That's why we got to be equipped by God's Word more and more to recognize the lies of the enemy and use the Scripture. Job 31, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a girl dealing with lust. Laziness, Proverbs 24, a sluggard doesn't plow in season. At harvest, he finds nothing. What about lack of thanks? Philippians 4, I've learned the secret of contentment. I can do all things through Christ. What about a loose tongue? Well, James 3, and many, many Proverbs. Use the Scriptures as we pray. All right, this leads me to the third point. Not only study the life of Christ, strategize with a plan as we pray, watch and pray. Number three, stay close to the Shepherd. And this deals with our personal relationship, of course, to the Father, God. Al Mohler tells of camping as a kid, and the men of the church had dragged three massive rattlesnakes across the front of his Jeep. And when they asked, these kids asked where they had shot them, the guy pointed out to the bushes right out in the area where they had just been playing the night before. They were just unaware of the dangers lurking around them, but they had been protected. Haven't we found that to be true with COVID-19, how people may not see those invisible enemies that are lurking all around us that God protects us from so often? This is why we've got to stay close to our Shepherd when it comes to spiritual battle. We pray, lead us not into temptation, as we study Christ's life and we have a plan. But thirdly, we've got to stay close to our shepherd. That means never forgetting how important our personal relationship with God is in fighting temptation. As we pray this, not to state the obvious, but that's what this prayer is all about, isn't it? Our relationship with God. We start out praying our Father in heaven. And then we see that we're totally dependent on Him for everything. Our protection, our provision, our pardon. And we got to remember with this, in overcoming temptation, we are doomed to fail in our own strength and with our own tactics and what we think we can do to overcome it. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "Be careful if you think you stand firm, lest you fall." We got to be careful. Moeller said, "This petition doesn't teach us to pray, 'Lord, give me more willpower in the fight against sin,' but it asks for shepherding and deliverance from God. Lead me not. Lead me, Lord. Lead me not into temptation. I depend on you in everything." And this ought to be clear for us as Christians. But many times people seem to act like they can just go out into the deep water with no thought about the dangers that are out there away from the shepherd. And vulnerable. That's where the enemy likes to hit us, when we're vulnerable, when we think we can do it on our own and we've drifted from God. We pray, "Lead us not into temptation." And this is, like the rest of this prayer, a daily thing. It's a pattern. It's a mindset. Because overconfidence is what often pulls us down. When we're thinking, you know, "I would never give in to that particular temptation." You start getting that in your mind. "Well, I'd never do that." Watch out. It's like you're giving an invitation to temptation. "Please. Please hit me. Please come at me." We don't get like that. Remember, on the night before Jesus' death, he's with his disciples and he says, "One of you is going to betray me." And who speaks up? Peter said, "Well, you know, all of them might, Jesus, but not me." Of course, he did, didn't he? He denied the Lord three times. And God restored him. Jesus restored him. But it was that arrogance that got in the way. When we start to think we can handle it on our own. You know, they interviewed Billy Graham, the great evangelist, years ago. And here was a guy who, yes, had his sin and problems. We all do. But he never fell into a lot of the things that these TV evangelists and famous people tend to do. And they asked him, he said, "Well, you know, somebody told me years ago about the areas of sex and money and pride that ministers and servants of God tend to be attacked by." And he said, "I had a plan then. I prayed and I knew that I could fall into it." So he said, "I would never be alone with a lady, never be alone with my secretary." And you know, Billy Graham did that not because he thought, "Well, you know, I'm so great and I'll never fall into it." He did it because he knew he could fall into it. It's true with all of us in different sense. When we recognize that and are real about it, it gives us incredible strength for overcoming temptation as we look to the shepherd. That's the image the Bible gives us, right? God is our shepherd. He is, and we're His sheep, and we find safety in Him and Him alone. Thomas said, "Maturity means we realize our frailties." It's one thing, he says, to desire to do things against God's will and never find yourself in a situation that to fulfill it. But he said it's often only a lack of opportunity that stops us. So when we're praying, "Lead us not into temptation," we're saying, "Lord, I know my weakness, and I know that if the opportunity comes, this is what could happen. So please protect me from that. May the two not come together." We know we're vulnerable. We're praying to stay close to the shepherd. And you see this. You know, this is what we're saying. We're saying, "Lord, I know that if I don't have your wisdom and strength, I'll fall. If I don't have your direction, I could fall into the worst sins." You see this in the examples of the Bible when people didn't want to listen and think they could do it on their own, you know. They fell into sin. Think about Eve in the beginning and Adam, you know, thinking they could handle things without God's word. Think of Abraham, who one time lied about his wife to save his own neck because he was afraid. He wasn't apparently trusting God at the time. Elijah, you know, was exhausted and lost his focus on the Lord. We think when we get our focus off of God, we fall into temptation. But we remember, don't we, in this prayer, that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we know we're weak, but He's strong, and we keep looking to Him. I like James 4, it says, "He gives us more grace. And therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You ever been hiking in a place where, you know, you get to a high spot and you're really up high and you start to kind of look down over the edge and it almost feels like you're kind of pulled? If you focus on that, looking down, it's like you're being pulled almost. Now, you don't want to do that, do you? I don't know. You know, you don't want to fight. And that's the way temptation works. It's like you're driving down the road and you look at something and it's almost like the car starts to go that way, you know. See, it's not an excuse for us to say the devil made me do it and to give into sin. No, but to understand this is how temptation works. When we're focused on the temptation, on the struggle, and we're thinking about it, we tend to be drawn towards it. And the way God changes us is as we get focused on His will. We get in His Word. We stay close to the Shepherd. We're praying. We're thinking on the things that are pure. We're taking every thought captive in Christ. We're drawing near to Him and humbling ourselves before Him and resisting the devil, but drawing near to God. That's where our attention gets taken off, those things, that temptation that tends to suck us in. We don't fight our thoughts, one man said. We write our thoughts. We tend to want to focus on the no, I'm not going to do it, instead of the yes God wants us to focus on in His Word and in His will. And getting in His truth and turning our attention there to Him. I mean, when Jesus was in the desert, He had been fasting 40 days and nights. It's not like Jesus said, well, I'm just not hungry. He was hungry. But He was focused on God's Word and God's will. That's an example for us. Didn't deny that He was hungry. Like I said, James 1 tries to get it. It tells us temptation, we get our attention on it. The devil gets our focus there. We fixate our thoughts there. And then we act. And we're drawn. So we have to ask God to help us change our focus. When we're praying, lead us not into temptation. On the positive side, what we're praying is, Lord, lead me into Your Word. Lead me into Your truth. Help me know Your will more and more that lasts forever. That's the only way I'll change. Don't lead me into temptation, but lead me into Your truth. And I'll be changed by grace as I focus there. And as we close, finally, seek the Lord passionately in prayer. And obviously that's what this prayer at its heart is all about. We've got to actually seek the Lord. Are we calling out to Him in our trials? James 1:13 says, God cannot be tempted by evil, for He doesn't tempt anyone. When we're praying, lead us not into temptation. Of course, this is not saying God would lead us into temptation, because He doesn't tempt. But it doesn't take away from the fact that God's sovereign over everything that we face. And so we remember that as we pray this. I like the traditional view of this, not that it's just general trials, but that it's actually praying about leading us not into temptation. And we're saying, Lord, if it's possible, don't let me fall into temptation. But we know that the world tells us, we know reality tells us, we're going to struggle with temptation. So we're saying, when I do, if it's possible, Lord, don't lead me into it or allow me to be led into it. But when I do, give me the strength to stand in it and to follow Your will. And empower me through Your Spirit. Empower me through Your truth to live in the way that You've called me to. A little bit like the idea of, like some people, they go buy the donuts, put them on the counter, you know, the desserts, and then say, Lord, help me not to eat this. Like we said earlier, we're praying and lead us not in temptation. We're saying, Lord, not just help me get out of this, but help me not to get into it. Protect me. Change my heart. Lead me in Your way everlasting. And I know You will help me. The Bible doesn't teach us that God helps those who help themselves, but that God helps those who are at the end of themselves. That's where we find our strength. Let's turn to Him now as we close. Gracious Lord, we come before You in Christ and through Christ. And we know, Lord God, that we all struggle with temptation and trials. And Lord God, we know we've all fallen, Lord God, in different ways. And we continue to struggle. We ask for Your grace and forgiveness, Lord, but also Your power and protection as we walk with You. That we'll know You're with us. We'll know, as Your Word says, that there's no temptation overtaking You except which is common to man. But God is faithful, and He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. But with the temptation, You'll make the way out, the way of escape that we can bear under it. Lord God, we ask for your grace, and that we'll see your way and your truth as we walk with you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.